This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, AJ Styles is WWE Champion, but for how long? And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are sent home. So Jake, our long national nightmare, worldwide nightmare in fact, is finally over. Jinder Mahal is no longer WWE Champion.
I mean, what more is there to say? I mean, it was a great match, probably the best match of Jinder's career. But it was time for a change, and I don't know if it's a long-term change. I mean, my skepticism alarm in my head kind of goes off when I think about the length of AJ Styles' title reign. But it really does feel like there was some sort of radical change in the approach to the pay-per-view. I mean, you had Jinder and AJ swap, and then, you know, there was, I guess, my thought on the night of the title change is that, well, does that make Jinder the fifth man in the SmackDown team for the show? And then, no, he's not there either. He got moved. I guess he got replaced there by, you know, John Cena. And so it's like, well, where does Jinder fall on this show? What is his next story? Is it just as simple as interfering in the Styles and Lesnar match? I don't know, but I honestly couldn't be more excited about AJ winning. It feels like a huge weight off the shoulders of SmackDown at this point.
Yeah, it was funny, the giant pop that moment got from the crowd in Manchester. I kind of rewound and just watched that again because it still seemed like people weren't expecting a three count, and when it happened, it was this big surprise, and I watched it knowing what would happen because I had already seen the spoilers online and everything. And people, I mean, if you know where to look, you can find basically the entire SmackDown broadcast as it's happening live and watch it in the middle of the day here in the US when it's taped overseas. And people were doing that and even posting GIFs of Jinder and AJ before the match happened. But you mentioned a few things I want to touch on. Match quality wise, Jinder Mahal had the best match of his career, dropping the title. I don't think that's a major coincidence. We talked when we talked about AJ and Finn Balor a couple weeks ago. AJ Styles is the guy who has everyone's best match.
He is the best wrestler in the world. Let's put it that. I mean, it's not even up for debate at this point. I mean, I guess, you know, there's people who would say Okada or Kenny Omega or something. But how many guys' best match belongs to AJ Styles? I mean, we're at the point where Vince McMahon
it's
has
laughable, in fact.
I mean, Vince McMahon has like a lever that he pulls in his office when he needs to save a pay-per-view that has AJ Styles' name on it. I mean, that's basically where he's at this point.
Is the lever labeled "they don't want none"?
I don't know. I think it's like the one that Conan had behind his desk when he used to do those ridiculous segments with, that's basically where I'm mm-hmm. at with it. It's just like the oh shit button that he pulls.
Yeah. And it definitely feels like he did that with AJ Styles winning the title on SmackDown. The length of his title reign it gives me a little bit of pause. Like I've got to question it too, but at the same time, I could absolutely buy into the narrative that Vince McMahon just remembered that AJ Styles is freaking great and was like, "What? Why am I doing this Jinder thing?" Like, he finally woke up from what I assume is a Linda McMahon in 2001 style drug induced coma and was like, "Jinder, what? I hired that guy again?" And instantly was just like, "Oh, well, we've got AJ Styles. Let's get the title onto him and it's going to be okay." Because it felt like a sea change. It felt like a big directional change for SmackDown with AJ winning this way and AJ now heading into Survivor Series with the championship. I just find SmackDown more interesting with that. I find Survivor Series more interesting. And Jake, I think the big question for me, AJ Styles has everyone's best match of their career, right? Can AJ Styles overcome the laziness of Brock Lesnar?
It may be insurmountable at this point. It really depends on what Lesnar wants to do. You know, we heard after you know, the Ambrose and Lesnar match at WrestleMania, you know, a couple of years ago, that there wasn't a lot that he wanted to do in that match. And as a result, the whole thing suffered. And I hope it's not the same situation here. Maybe it was Lesnar's, you know, distaste for having a match with Jinder Mahal that caused all this in the first place. I really have no idea. But the idea of Lesnar and Mahal lumbering around the ring was just not interesting to anybody. And I think that was pretty much universally recognized by the title change. And so I'm hopeful that this means we're going to get, you know, Lesnar on his game and Styles on his game, because I think between the two of them, with Styles selling and ability to rally a crowd, it could be a fantastic match.
I love the idea that they like were going with Jinder, and Brock Lesnar wandered down to the phone that lives somewhere on his property in some shed, listened to a voicemail, and it's from Paul Heyman saying, "Hey Brock, I got your booking for the next couple months, and it looks like you're going to be facing Jinder Mahal at Survivor Series." And Brock just started laughing, and then called Paul or like sent him a telegram or something that just said, "Nah, we're not doing that. Tell him to move it." But they had already executed the storyline almost to completion. I mean, we are, you know, just over a week out from Survivor Series at the time of the title change. So that's huge.
I think they attached, he may have attached like a note to a pigeon, and then it just arrived in Connecticut like this past week or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it seems like there was a massive change in opinion about how this show was being booked. And you can call it a show saving move if you want. I think there was enough going on that I probably would have watched anyway, but this definitely improved the prospects of match quality on this show dramatically.
So, Jake, I think you're right in that it's not necessarily a show-saving mood, but AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar as a main event, I think, makes this a big four pay-per-view, where they're trying to establish Survivor Series. It's one of the four co-branded events. Last year, they brought in gosh dang Goldberg for it. They are trying to make Survivor Series a big thing, and now I feel like Survivor Series is big, where in years past, I've honestly skipped Survivor Series. Like last year, I didn't watch any of Survivor Series. I didn't care. And this year I'm like, no, I gotta be home and watch that live. I'm curious. There's a mystique and an aura to Brock Lesnar. There is, which I think has been damaged in the past couple years, but it's still there. And there is something to AJ Styles and the way he wrestles and the way he can have anyone's best match. And I am excited to see it. It is a show improving move, and maybe one of the best things WWE could do outside of, you know, putting AJ against Finn Balor and not painting Balor like a pumpkin like they did last month.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess from, yeah, just playing devil's advocate, you know, there's also this like part of my brain that goes, is this all to protect Jinder in a way? Because, you know, my brain goes, well, you know, they have the opportunity to, you know, to have this match with Lesnar and Mahal. And if they don't want to give Jinder a victory, if he loses, he's probably never going to get that win back, but he could drop the title to AJ, who everybody sees as a likable champion, and get that win back on SmackDown or in India or in anywhere else and really come out of it none the worse. But if he takes a clean loss to Lesnar, he's probably never going to get that one back.
And I kind of like the idea of him going into India and winning it. I would love it if they, I know they're not broadcasting the India shows on the network, their house shows, but I would honestly love it if they said on SmackDown, we are going to broadcast the WWE Championship match, AJ Styles defending against Jinder Mahal. And I would love it if it felt almost like it'd be different, but almost like John Cena walking into the ECW One Night Stand 2006 show. Like, AJ is the babyface everywhere and people hate him here. Like, people are so on Jinder's side. And if he were, and I trust that AJ could give Jinder the match that the conquering babyface would need to have. And that would be really, really neat to watch and kind of a cool moment to get to see Jinder have in the bizarro world that would be India at that point. And if WWE is going to put the title back on AJ, then I think that would be a good place to do it.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement there. I mean, it's hard to argue with doing the Bizarro World script, because if it makes it to the network at some point, or if it makes it to SmackDown, or however they go about putting it out there for people to view, I think it would give just a completely alternate perspective on how other parts of the world view the WWE universe and its stars, you know. And if it's not a success, like if it doesn't get the absolutely insane reaction and it doesn't spur the kind of business opportunities that WWE wants, then at least then it would be a rebuke.
And pretend it never happened.
Well, yeah, it would be a rebuke of their philosophy of shoehorning stars into positions they aren't ready for because they feel like having more international flavor on the show is the secret to success.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to watch that play out on SmackDown. And even though it's not a live main event, I think WWE could get a lot of publicity out of broadcasting a main event from India.
If you like what we do here at ProWrestling.net and the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast, there are a couple things you could do to support us. First, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars, tell people why you like us. Those help get our show out in front of more people. The second, become a ProWrestling.net member. You can support the site and get ad-free access to the site, access to our member-exclusive audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Just because you don't hear it on this podcast doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And we also have the ProWrestling.net weekly audio show where Jason Powell usually runs through the news of the week and often breaks first-run news. He does a weekly Q&A every week from members as well, and you get bonus episodes of some shows like the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. If you want to become a ProWrestling.net member, for as low as $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month, or $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual option. It knocks a couple bucks off. It's pretty great. Go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and you can be signed up in minutes. Thank you guys so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Let's move on. Another thing happened on the SmackDown side of things. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, after SmackDown this week, were sent home. Ryan Satin at Pro Wrestling Sheet was the first guy I saw reported, and he said it was a disciplinary measure because they didn't do what they were scripted to do in a feeding for New Day on Tuesday night. Jake, I'm a little bit concerned about this because I think it's well known that I love Sami and I love Kevin, and I want them to do well, but It spoke about them being increasingly difficult and unhappy. And Jake, talk me off the ledge here because I'm quite worried.
Well, I mean, I've seen multiple people report on this and talk about it now, and it seems like there's a fair bit of conjecture happening. And when that happens, it seems like certain things just become fact when they aren't. And so I think the only thing everybody seems to agree on is that there was some issue after the opening segment after that opening match on SmackDown where they were supposed to feed New Day and did not. And as a result of not, you know, following creative to the letter, they were sent home. And whether or not this has anything to do with, you know, what happened with Neville and Jimmy Jacobs and overall frustration with their direction or the company or whether they're difficult to work with, that really just seems to be idle speculation, I guess. There's really no confirmation from anyone that that's true. And I guess I look back at situations like, you know, when it was sort of taken as fact that Austin Aries was frustrated with the company and he had asked for his release and it was all about creative. And essentially he went on Talk Is Jericho and completely dispelled all of the assumed facts of that situation himself. And so I really don't know what to make of the situation other than, you know, they were frustrated on Tuesday and they made a bad decision that reflected poorly on their professionalism. I hope it blows over. I don't think either of them would want to leave WWE at this point. I mean, I'm sure that there's room to be frustrated with creative, you know, since they got that major push at the end of Hell in a Cell and it's kind of fallen flat with their booking on SmackDown since then heading into Survivor Series. So I can understand them being frustrated. I don't think they went about protesting it the right way, but I'm hoping this will just blow over when everybody gets back to the States and they can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I landed when I thought about it with the more rational portion of my brain as well, is you know, I can see creative frustration here because the end of Hell in a Cell was brilliant. They did some great work in the week following. And then it's like their entire story especially was just wrapped up in, well, now it's Survivor Series time and we all have to try and compete for Shane McMahon's pride on the blue brand. And that's stupid. It's a bad story. And while WWE is doing a better job this year than they have in years past of telling that story, it is not a good story and it's not conducive to building great long-term stories, which I would say is probably what Kevin and Sammy have in mind. That's probably what they are excited about doing. And I'm not trying to justify not doing what you're scripted to do. Hey, you're an actor, you're paid to do a job out there, and you need to follow the script as you're told to. I know as fans, we glorify wrestlers going into business for themselves a lot of times, and we get all excited about it and think about, oh, is there going to be another CM Punk pipe bomb? And no, we shouldn't have that. That was even a scripted promo that Punk made look unscripted. So I get that with Kevin and Sammy, and I totally get the frustration. And I guess my hope is the same as yours, that it's a momentary discipline thing, that it's not a long-term damaging decision. I don't think either guy's look, like you said, neither guy's really looking to leave. But at the same time, how much leverage do especially wrestlers like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have at this moment? You can't tell me that they would not make a ton of money out there on their own. It, like, while I think they both enjoy being in WWE, it seems to work well for them and lifestyle wise and everything else. They are two guys that I definitely see as like, well, if they left tomorrow, WWE would probably miss them more than they'd miss WWE. I mean, you'd probably have them out there with the Young Bucks almost instantly with t-shirts and pro wrestling tees and everything else.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the status of their deals. Like, you know, if they're under contract for another year or more and WWE just says, okay, you guys are unhappy, we're going to pay you to sit home and you're not going to be able to go do anything. Like, we're not going to give you your release. We're going to pay you your downsides and whatever merch that you, you know, money you're entitled to, and you're just going to sit at home, and we're going to reduce your value on the independents until your contract runs out. And I think that's a real possibility if somebody, you know, were to act out at the wrong time in their deal. Like, it's different if, you know, if they had a couple of months left and then they just had to ride that out in their, you know, whatever their non-compete is, or maybe they can just choose to legally ignore their non-compete like some others have, because it seems like WWE has a hard time enforcing those in court. See, you know, Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio and others. But, you know, there's definite ways that WWE could keep them, especially if they have long-term deals in place that they would have to find their way out of. Also, I don't know how being unprofessional about the way you do your job is necessarily a great advertisement for other companies to bring you in. So I hope
that's a good point.
I hope they, you know, they're not going to make this a pattern. And it's just one of those things where if they're really frustrated and they just had a momentary lapse in judgment, they can put it together until their deal is over and make their way out of the company if that's what they want to do. But I wouldn't want to develop a bad reputation on my way out if I was looking for work.
Yeah, I wouldn't either in that way. I think that'll wrap it up for us today, though. I think we covered that, covered AJ Styles, and tomorrow you and I can talk a little Wrestle Kingdom 12, and that'll be a very fun time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.